office, please read Council Item 224.
Create a local improvement district to construct street, sidewalk, stormwater, and sanitary sewer improvements in the Northeast 57th Avenue and Killingsworth Street Local Improvement District.
I will just, Mr. President, turn this over to Andrew Abbey.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. I'll just make a few comments while I'm getting the PowerPoint ready to go. So Council approved Resolution Number 37340 in January, which initiated local improvement district formation proceedings with over 80% petition support for the LID. So I think the Council knows. Thank you, Carla. I think the Council knows that all LIDs undergo a two-part formation process, and this is the second of two different steps. So I'm just going to walk you through some issues that were raised in the remonstrances that were submitted. So the common theme of the remonstrances was that there was a request to close 57th Avenue north of Northeast Emerson Street. And I just wanted to show you a map of how few north-south street connections we have in Cully. So this particular map that I'm showing you are the local streets in Cully. And you can see that between Northeast 52nd Avenue and Northeast 60th Avenue, which are the next available north-south local street connections, that's a distance of 2,226 feet. Section 17.88 of City Code called for a maximum distance of street connections to be 530 feet. So for those reasons, the city engineer and the city traffic engineer cannot support this request to close Northeast 57th Avenue. This is another map of neighborhood collector and higher classification streets. These are the streets that we would like to have to actually shift traffic. So in Cully, our preferential streets to carry the bulk of the traffic would be Northeast 42nd Avenue and Northeast Cully Boulevard. As you can see from this map, Cully Boulevard is not a due north-south street. It runs diagonally. And the total distance between 42nd and Cully is 6,697 feet. So whether you approve this LID or you don't approve this LID, really the point I'm trying to make with these two slides is we have a real dearth of north-south street connections in Cully. I am not surprised that the property owners have a concern about traffic, because what happens is the traffic tend to concentrate on the few north-south street connections that we have remaining. It was extremely painful for my engineering colleague to draw this, but I asked him to draw a hypothetical example of what a closed street would look like on Northeast 57th Avenue if Council were to grant this request. As you can see, when we design a cul-de-sac, particularly if it were to come off a busy street like Killingsworth, we would have to provide a way for vehicles to turn around. We would not just simply have a stub of a dead end where vehicles had to back out onto busy Killingsworth Street. You can see from the shaded white areas on that map that the impact of properties would actually be greater, because now you would have to build a bulb out on that cul-de-sac, and there's less impact if you just simply punch the street through. So that's the extent of my presentation today. Just to make a few other comments, we have brought an extraordinary level of resources to this LID. So the cost of this LID is less than a third of what it would be for a typical unsubsidized LID. And I wanted to just pass out some amendments and just walk. Actually, Carla, I think, distributed those. So I wanted to walk you through the amendments. So what I'm requesting are two roll call votes from Council. So we had the first set of amendments that was posted online. And I respectfully request that the Council adopt these amendments, correcting some Scrivener's errors, replacing Exhibits F and G to reflect remonstrances received, remove 5285 Northeast 57th Avenue from the LID boundary. That property was only slated to receive partial frontage improvements, and we should grant the property owner's request to be removed from that LID. And then the last item on there was to add an emergency clause after discussing
this. What about the other two? This to clarify the length of the sidewalk.
Pardon?
There were two more in your summary of amendments. There was 1, 2, 3 that you just said, but then also clarify the length of the sidewalk
yes.
improvements and overrule the remaining remonstrances at
Correct.
An emergency clause.
So just to clarify how that would work, Commissioner Frith, the length of the street would be 378 feet. The sidewalk on the west side of the street would terminate 346 feet south of Killingworth, so you have slightly offset length of the improvements.
So I move those amendments. Let's vote separately on the adding the emergency clause. So I move.
Yes, and actually what I was going to suggest, Commissioner, is if you adopt this amendment, I'm going to take you right into the second amendment, which then removes the emergency clause. But however you want to do it.
Does it currently have an emergency clause on it?
Pardon?
I didn't think it currently had an emergency
it
clause.
It doesn't. So the first amendment would add one, but then the second one would remove it.
So why do we just not adding it?
That works, too. I'm not necessarily expert in parliamentary procedures, so I'll defer to the
city
attorney.
So number 5 in this would just be overrule the remaining remonstrances.
That's fine.
So moving amendments 1 through 5.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Fish. Call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Here.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendments are now on the table adopted.
Thank you for your patience as I tried to sync everything up with my paperwork. So let me walk you now through the second set of amendments, and I deeply appreciate all of the input from the property owners over the past 24 hours. So the first one, which appears now to be a moot point, would be to remove the emergency clause. The second amendment would expressly authorize the installation of speed bumps in this LID. So that's something that we've been discussing with the property owners all along. But I wanted to bake that into the LID formation ordinance so that the intent was very clear that by default, we plan to install speed bumps if they're warranted. The third item I have on that
second. Can I ask you a question on that item? So isn't that really a matter of administration? You don't always bring speed bumps to the city council, do you?
Thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler. I appreciate you asking that question. What we're not asking the council to do is to make an engineering decision. What we're asking the council to do is to legally authorize the expenditure of LID funds to install speed bumps.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Excellent question.
Is there a motion on that?
I'll move.
Well, I think we're walking through them all, Mayor.
Oh, there's more.
And then,
okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're all
so
in
they're,
this.
So they're coming forward
yeah.
as a set. Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
So the third amendment was... I talked to the city traffic engineer this morning, and you may recall that council recently voted in favor of this 20 is plenty ordinance, and we think it makes perfect sense to add 57th on the list of streets that is posted for 20 mile an hour speed limit.
Why do we need to do that? Isn't it automatically 20 miles an hour?
Pardon? It's 25 right now.
I know, but everything's going down to 20.
I can't explain it. It's just when I talked to the city traffic engineer, he just said legally it's a 25-mile-an-hour street and we need to drop it down to 20. So
right.
he was fine with me offering up the amendment.
That's
so.
Fine. Keep going.
So then the fourth one is to expressly authorize a deferral of repayment of the LID lien for a minimum period of not less than 5 years. So just to make it really clear, you know, our intent here is to work with the property owners and... ideally, that those LID obligations wouldn't need to be paid until the house is sold. So we want people to be able to budget for this obligation
and unusual?
Plan for it.
Isn't that unusual? Do we usually do that?
We don't usually do that, but what I try to do on all these LIDs is to be responsive to the issues that were raised. I think on this particular LID, we have two very large lots, which are very expensive to build frontage for. When you have a 213-foot wide lot that is wider than a downtown city block, you know, I have two choices. I can either narrow a 22-foot road down to 5 feet wide, or, I mean, you understand, the math I'm dealing with here is a very, very wide frontage, and I know you know that. I just felt that given that we have some really large lots here, $43,000 is a really good deal for 213 feet of frontage, but it's still a large obligation.
Okay.
So. So that's item number 4. Item number 5, and this was suggested by the Coley Association of Neighbors, is to direct PBOT to further explore the possibility of improving additional North-South Street connection. So while the conversations have been cordial with the property owners, I think the one sticking point of respectful disagreement has been that PBOT does not believe that the solution to traffic problems on 57th is to close the street. PBOT believes that the solution to traffic problems on 57th is to have more north-south streets in Cully to more evenly disperse the traffic. And I'm not going to go into details on that today, but we actually have some ideas on how a subsequent project might implement some of that. The Sixth Amendment would allow the LID to pay for water meter installation solely at the abutting property owner's expense. This is something that was requested by Habitat for Humanity. The Water Bureau will get the same amount of revenue. It's just that they would be paid by the LID, and it provides the opportunity for those water meters to be financed over 20 years along with all of the infrastructure improvements for Habitat for Humanity. And then finally, the Seventh Amendment would be, the seventh item included in the single amendment would authorize the city engineer to omit construction by the LID of a new sidewalk at 5305 Northeast 57th Avenue. It's with a considerable degree of reluctance that I offer that particular item up, but we have one property owner from whom we need to acquire right-of-way. Right now, that property extends 30 feet into the right-of-way, and we only have a 30-foot wide right-of-way, whereas it's 60 feet wide everywhere else. And so what we want to be able to do is we're going through the engineering. We want to have the flexibility to phase the sidewalk construction. Just to be perfectly clear, if the sidewalk were not improved as part of this LID, it would be required upon a future building permit. And those are that's the entire package of amendments that I have, and I appreciate Council's time today.
Could we amend number 7 to add? It will be the sidewalk will be required in a future building permit.
I think I put that in there in the detail. You can. Yeah, so if you look at item F on page 3, it says, I don't want to read the whole thing in detail out of respect for your time, but it just says, shall be constructed in the future solely at property owner expense.
So can I just add something like, is this all part of the amendments, or do we need to add under number 7 per paragraph F?
No, this is all part of the amendment. So the single memo has amendments A through F.
Okay.
I think A is moot because you've already removed the emergency clause. So as a practical matter, I think we're just voting on B through F, if that meets with the pleasure of the council.
Commissioner Saltzman's moved.
Second.
Commissioner Fritz seconds. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you for all your work on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
All right, the amendment is adopted, now on the table. Thank you.
So the last item I just wanted to show council is, this is a picture, Carla, if we can switch over to the screen. This is a picture that I took in 2011, March of 2011. There we go. So that is the 1900 block of Southeast 171st Avenue. And this is what happens when you have a very long paved street that comes up to a very short length of unpaved street. Because what happens is drivers make a mental calculation that they're willing to put up with a relatively short distance of unpaved street. And then what happens is this is you get these types of potholes. This is precisely why I really felt compelled to provide an administrative recommendation to council to approve this LID. It is with some degree of reluctance that I ask council to overrule the remonstrances, but I couldn't in good faith leave this type of situation for the property owners in a couple of years and fumble the football on the one yard line when we've worked so hard to line up the funding and narrow the scope of the street, for example, from 32 to 22 feet, and do a lot of other things to address their concerns.
Yeah,
so I know this is a difficult decision for council, but I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Good. We would have had to post lifeguards otherwise. Any
I was
further
gonna say, everybody in the pool.
Good. Public testimony on this item, please.
Yes, we have 7 people signed up.
The first colleagues, could I request that we limit testimony to 2 minutes, if for no other reason than that I think we're going to start losing our quorum at 1 p.m. So if folks could try and condense their comments into 2 minutes, that would be great. You'll see a yellow light go on in a minute and 30 seconds, and then you'll hear a buzzer and see a red light flashing at 2 minutes. Thank you.
The first 3 are Samuel Walker, Holly Webster, and Dale Walker.
Thank you for being here.
Hi. Thanks so much. Thank you, Andrew. Sam Walker, 5711 Northeast Emerson Street, one of the impacted property owners. I will try to limit my comments to 3 minutes. There's a lot to cover. The first is kind of an administrative item. You have in front of you a summary of the remonstrances received. I'm one of the homeowners that submitted remonstrances by the deadline. I'm going to read very quickly some of what Andrew Abbey from Portland Bureau of Transportation submitted in his packet to you. Four written remonstrances representing owners of four non-exempt properties at the Northeast 57th and Killingsworth Local Improvement District were received by the filing deadline. Registering remonstrances against formation of the local improvement district. Total remonstrances represent 22.2% of the estimated assessment of the LID. Further down, this is Exhibit G. Council lacks jurisdiction to form the Northeast 57th and Killingsworth Local Improvement District as originally proposed because the remonstrant level of 61.2% as measured by total area is above the 60% threshold in Section 9-403 of the City Charter. What does Section 9-403 state? I happen to have that here. This is the City Charter that you guys are all bound by. If the owners of 3/5 or more in area of the property file objections, further proceedings in the making of such improvements are barred for a period of 6 months unless the owners of 1/2 or more of the property affected subsequently petition therefor. So what it doesn't say is that Andrew Abbey and Portland Bureau of Transportation can modify the existing LID to remove one of the property owners so that the math works out in your favor in order to overrule the remonstrances received. I think it's pretty clear, I don't know about you, but this looks a lot like a proceeding to me. So this does feel like, here's the word, gerrymandering. I will tell you that we did formally support the project, right? We were in support. And then we, for many reasons, right? Because it's connectivity, access to 72 bus line. And then we heard from neighbors down the street, the not impacted by the LID directly, but farther south. We heard from many of the neighbors, and in the packet you have this petition that was put forth. We knocked on doors, we asked for further comment, and people are incredibly concerned. There is a groundswell of community support for doing something other than what's proposed here. So we simply wanted to take a step back. The only process that we had ahead of us, and I understand receiving remonstrances of this nature is very frustrating for you. I apologize for that. It was the only mechanism that we as citizens felt like we had at our disposal. So we followed the rules. We submitted remonstrances above the 3/5. We thought that would stop it for now, and we can further engage on the side and bring this back to you. That was our intention.
Thank you.
So where we are now is we would like additional time to have the folks that are heavily impacted by increasing traffic on a street south on 57th, increased traffic with no sidewalks, lots of families. It's already an active transportation corridor, and you will significantly degrade that by moving forward with this LID under its current design. We ask that you take a step back. Thank you.
Okay, great, and thank you. And I let you go on a little longer because my suspicion is there are a lot of people who are testifying who agree, so you don't need to repeat all of these arguments because we will ask for staff to come up and address some of them. You can just say, me too, or whatever. To keep us moving, if you agree. Thank you.
Okay. I'll go ahead and defer to Holly.
Okay. Thanks. So one detail that's been left out is that the street, this section of Northeast 57th, is actually referred to as a local service street. So this is currently not an access road. If you Google it, it does not show up as a throughway. So talking about blocking this road and traffic being diverted elsewhere, this is already not a heavily used road for traffic. So I don't think that this should have much of an impact to the flow of traffic. I also think that makes this a good candidate for a greenway connection between the bike access on Killingsworth to the greenway along Alberta. We don't have many, as much as we don't have north-south connections for traffic, we don't have a lot of north-south connections for pedestrians and bikes as well. Since this is already a low traffic part of the street and we're going to have that many more residents there with children at Habitat, I think this would be a good candidate to keep as a minimal impact, narrow road with possibly, you know, sidewalk just on one side, so that's not as much of an impact to the property owners. And our priority is just to make this road safer. It is currently dangerous on many levels, and we have people. The road is mostly being used by pedestrians and by bicyclists. We have neighbors that live at the end of that road that have kids that play in the street. And I think if we're going to improve this road, there has to be some sort of gradual transition for allowing traffic to move through there. So one proposal is that, you know, they could go forward with the improvement, but possibly block it until there's more development. If those properties are subdivided at some point in the future, then maybe we could allow more access for vehicles along that road. But I don't think that proposing to have some sort of barrier for vehicular traffic would currently impede any current flow of traffic.
Thank you.
Sure.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Dale Walker. I'm at 5711 Northeast Emerson. I just wanted to let you know I am retired on a fixed income, and though $44,000 doesn't seem like a lot of money, to me it has impact. The other thing that, and I think Holly raised this, we do have children that use 57th. The folks from Elder Place come down for walks, check out my chickens and so forth. So it's a pretty safe street right now. If we open that up, regardless of speed bumps and speed limits, people are going to cause a little concern with the neighborhood. Anyhow, thank you for allowing us to speak.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for being here, both of you. Next three, please, Carl.
Are Connor Devine, Danielle Walker, and Laura Young.
Good afternoon. Whoever's ready to go.
Okay, hi. My name is Danielle Walker. Microphones and cameras make me painfully nervous, so please bear with me.
No worries.
I live along 57th Avenue, and I'm one of the homeowners identified as part of the LID. My family's share of the cost is nearly $44,000. Just so you know, this is an overwhelming amount of money for my family to bear. It's a significant impact on my life. As you are also aware, the residents along the street are very concerned about the traffic impacts. 57th Avenue is narrow. It has no sidewalks. It is a major pedestrian path to Conemaugh Park. We walk there every day. This road is not currently equipped to handle the increase in traffic that will come from the improvement of this road. And by solving this problem, you are only creating another one that until today, and last night really in our work with Andrew, has up till now has been completely ignored. It was this problem we were trying to solve when we recommended that the city choose to close the road instead develop a pedestrian and cyclist path. It is my understanding that at this point in time, the city is not interested in creating a walkway-only street. For me, this has been difficult to comprehend, as the Coley plan clearly recommends alternative low-cost street designs, including walkways, be developed rather than to traditional roads. These recommendations are stated on pages 4, 34, 38, and 39 of the Coley plan. You cannot be surprised or frustrated with a citizen who asks the city to close a road when the city recommends it in writing. If the city has no intention on fulfilling these recommendations, I suggest you reevaluate the Coley plan and include a realistic and implementable option. We are not the adversary. We are only working off approved documents that you have provided to us. Finally, I ask that we stay true to the process in the LID ordinance and that you do not gerrymander the LID in order to overrule our remonstrances. Instead, let us continue to work with Mr. Abbey to come to a resolution we can all support that implements the goals of the city while listening to the people most affected by the change. We have made significant progress in recent days, and I hope you will allow this to continue.
Thank you. If you were nervous, it doesn't show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Connor Devine, and I live at 5305 Northeast 57th Avenue, directly across 57th from the Walkers. And, first, I've been very disappointed with the way that this whole process has been handled. I don't feel like I've been communicated with properly or taken into account that my property is going to be the most impacted by this LID. And my wants and needs have been only heard through my neighbors, not from PBOT or any other avenues. But I do hope that you guys will give us opportunity to put a hold on this so that we can change my opinion of the way that proceedings have gone and we can all work together. But I also want to voice that I agree with everything that my neighbors have said so far. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. We appreciate your being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hear me good? Okay. My name is Laura Young. I'm the chair of the Coley Association of Neighbors. And the association board submitted written testimony, which you should have in front of you. So I'll just highlight a couple of items regarding the Connected Coley plan. I was actually one of the drafters of the Connected Coley plan, and I can tell you the spirit and intent of the plan was to, and it in the executive summary in the prologue, it says, meeting the community's goal of vibrant, pedestrian-oriented Coley commercial corridor, and the plan flows from, the infrastructure and street connectivity needs of the Coley neighborhood to be addressed. The plan was never intended to reduce connectivity, but rather to provide alternative opportunities to increase connectivity. This particular street, Northeast 57th Avenue, is one of three local streets with continuous straight-line connectivity between 42nd and 82nd Avenue, which are the collector boundaries of the Coley neighborhood. There are only these three streets that provide continuous connectivity. Closing one of these streets would cause a substantial impact on the surrounding streets and just increase the impact on the overburdened 60th Avenue, which is currently also being proposed to have limitations on auto access. If we lose 57th and 60th, that only leaves 72nd Avenue and 52nd Avenue, which are more than a mile apart. So there's two facets of this issue. One is the Neighborhood Association absolutely doesn't support closing the street. It does support the formation of an LID. All of the property owners have been offered deferrals, which would prevent them from having a monthly obligation. That is a very good option. I think possibly anecdotally, people who move into the neighborhood and move onto a gravel road don't realize they incur that obligation to improve the street at some point.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please.
The last person I have is Thomas McElroy.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks for
Commissioners.
Being here.
Thank you for hearing us. It's amazing what a block of dirt, pothole-riddled dirt road can do, and what it has done, what that block has done to 57th from the rest of the distance from Killingsworth to Prescott has turned it into a pretty vibrant pedestrian and bike throughway. We have I'm on 5252 Northeast 57th Avenue. My wife and my two young kids live there. We have a poetry post and a tiny free library and a basketball hoop out front, and those get a ton of use from people walking their dogs. We see a lot of strollers every day. My kids play out there, shot hoops with Damian Lillard once when he was filming a part of an episode of Portlandia. That would not be the case if that block of dirt road had not slowed traffic and prevented the entirety of 57th from becoming a shortcut for 60th. And that's what really PDOT is proposing, that we turn 57th into a shortcut for 60th, which is already a very fast, functional street. It's right there, three blocks away. And the problem is 60th doesn't have sidewalks at this time, and so people just go through 57th. And now we're going to have 15 more families on the corner when that Habitat for Humanity complex goes in. And so PDOT is proposing putting them on two high-speed streets, Northeast Killingsworth and 57th there. And I know it's painful to draw the turnaround, but how painful is it going to be to the families who have their kids injured or worse by using 57th to create a shortcut that we don't need We don't need it. We have 60th. There's never a traffic jam on 60th. On a busy day at rush hour, the worst traffic jam the Cully has is at the Five Point intersection at 60th, Prescott, and Cully Boulevard by the Albertsons, several blocks away. We don't need to funnel everyone through this existing pedestrian and bike walkway. And I think that should be preserved. And the closing off the street to auto traffic would serve that function very well.
Thank you. Appreciate
We'd like time to consider that and to review more options.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate your testimony, everybody. So I just had a question. The first individual providing testimony referred to some charter language. Can either you or legal counsel respond to that concern?
So city charter was written a very long time ago. They can be difficult to interpret at times. I think if you were to take that argument to the absurd extreme, that would mean that council couldn't even dispose of the agenda item. And keep in mind that once a LID resolution is approved, then the city auditor's office creates pending lien records.
Andrew, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
It's late, and we've had a lot of stuff today. Exhibit G to the package you gave us actually in paragraph 4 cites the charter provision.
Correct, yes.
And restates what the gentleman has already testified to. So it is before us, and your proposed way of dealing with that is also before us. But
correct. So just very simply put, Commissioner Fish, I would just say that at some level the council has to have some degree of additional proceedings to either form or not form the LID. So I think it would be an inaccurate interpretation of city charter to infer that once you hit the 60% threshold, that somehow council is not empowered to respond to the substance of the remonstrances received. Because the council has to either amend the LID or decline to form the LID so that we can either sustain or remove the pending lien records that were created when council adopted the LID resolution.
Commissioner Daly. Sorry, then Commissioner Saltzman.
I have a question, and I'm not sure, Andrew, if you can answer this or not, but $44,000 is an extraordinary amount of money for most households. Can you explain to me how we expect these residents to come up with that money, or if I understand we offer long-term low-interest financing, what does that look like?
Yeah, so we do offer 20-year financing, as I mentioned before, which I won't recover. We are offering the deferral option. The one part I didn't even mention is that 46% of the cost in this LID for the non-Habitat for Humanity property owners is right-of-way acquisition. So with a simple stroke of the pen, one property owner could donate the right-of-way, and we could eliminate 46% of the cost and drop that number substantially. That is not something I have control over, but I just want to emphasize to the council it's within their ability to significantly lower those costs. If council were not to approve this LID today, then what would happen is that PBOT would sit back and wait for these property owners to pull building permits. By my rough calculations, an unsubsidized frontage improvement for $43,000 would be $147,476. And I don't want to put that property owner in the position of having to come up with that kind of money with no deferral and no financing option to build the required frontage improvements as a condition of getting a building permit.
Commissioner Saltzman.
There was a woman who testified about doing something less than a standard street, but still a street with, I forget what we call that program, the community.
Yeah, I haven't been
something
involved.
We did back under Mayor Adams, you know, something less than a full-blown standard street as an option for an LID. So I wanted to ask about that, and then are we at loggerheads about the issue of closing the street? I mean, are the neighbors, that's their solution, and
right.
ours is clearly not that.
If I may, I'll try to be extremely brief. Let me take that second question first. I would be really careful as a property owner in terms of what you wish for, because I've done LIDs before where people have had dead-end streets. They've had to drive long distances out of direction to get to where they need to go. Sometimes bad things tend to happen at dead ends. Having a dead-end street sort of introduces its own set of issues. So I'd just be, as a property owner, be very careful what we wish for. I would also just say that Northeast 60th and Killingsworth has a traffic signal, so it is a little difficult for me to rationalize why 57th would suddenly become an attractive cut-through street for people to drive north on 57th and wait against all the traffic on 57th to turn onto Killingsworth when they have a traffic signal at 60th and Killingsworth. And to respond to your first point, Commissioner, cost of hiring a contractor to do something are largely fixed. If I go to a contractor and say, instead of building a 22-foot wide street, build an 18-foot wide street, or God forbid, build an 11-foot street, the contractor is not going to give me a 50% reduction on the bid because they got to mobilize and build everything. So I think Peabody's perspective is, if we're going to build a street here, let's build it properly, something that lasts for the long term. And I think that through a collaborative effort on the right-of-way acquisition, which again is 46% of the cost, the LID, I think we have some tools at our disposal to bring these costs down to a reasonable level.
Okay. And so, I mean, as late as 10 o'clock last night, I know you were working with the neighbors on this. And so I'm just wondering, should we give some more time here, see if there might be something? But knowing it may not, and it may come down to us voting to overrule the remonstrances and make.
I think what I'm struggling with, Commissioner, is I've been asked to do something that the Coley Neighborhood Association doesn't support, and I don't think we can go there. What I'm suggesting is we've removed the emergency clause. You're not making a decision today. You have a week to think about this. You can decide what you want to do. And what Danielle and I talked about this morning is I'll probably meet with them this weekend. I have some other ideas that I don't want to cover now about traffic mitigation and some other things, and I just need some time to chew on that, and we'll have that conversation. But I think we need to have a decision next week because Habitat can't wait forever to start, you know, addressing our affordable housing shortage in Portland either.
Good response.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. The proposed width of the street is 22 feet.
Curb to curb.
Curb to curb. I have some of those in my neighborhood. They are not conducive to people zipping through. That's a very narrow street. And this is unprecedented to be allowed to having the deferral for 5 years, to adding the speed bumps in as part of it. All these other things that have already been added are things that no other neighborhood, no other LID is getting. So I personally think that you've already gone the extra mile, and I would be reluctant to go much further because I just don't see that the outcomes are going to be as feared. Just based on what's happened in my neighborhood, when a 22-foot street has gone in, it has not, in fact, it's taken away our ability to get out of our neighborhood during snow days because we no longer have potholes and to slow down the slide with the ice.
Mayor?
Commissioner Fish.
So I think the council is signaling where it may land on this. Just for the record, in my service on the council, I think if I had to identify a person who goes the extra mile routinely, always, in terms of doing a very difficult task, it would be Andrew Abbey. Andrew's outstanding public servant. Mayor, I would be comfortable removing the emergency clause and having an opportunity for one last conversation, but I am prepared to vote on this, and I am concerned we are going to lose a quorum, and I may be part of the problem. So I would urge us to make a decision.
So Andrew has offered to meet with the neighbors, and the neighbors were all giving thumbs up that they would like to have that opportunity. And I don't see how waiting a week is going to make a lot of difference on this. So I would first of all, I want to respect the fact you have put a lot of time and energy into this. And I want to be very clear, I'm not saying you haven't, but I see one more opportunity here to close the gap with the neighbors. They've taken the time to be here today. Let's respect that. So I would encourage us to move this to second reading and give Andrew that opportunity and the neighbors that one last opportunity.
Okay. And I just want to correct one thing I put in the email. The final vote would be on the 14th of March and not the 17th of March. That was a typo in my email this morning. But with that, I just recommend that council has adopted the two amendments proposed to the ordinance.
Correct.
So at this point, I think you're just passing it to a final vote on the 14th.
That would be correct.
And I'll have that meeting. Thank you.
And if you have other ideas that come back, and you and the neighborhood and the neighbors are in agreement, we would obviously entertain an amendment at that point.
Okay.
Great. So this is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended.